La 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 la, the silent stars go by.
Hey, Belle, what are you doing?
Oh, hi, Holiday. Sorry, I didn't see you there. I'm decorating for the Christmas play. This is definitely my favorite time of year. You know, with all the Christmas carols, the Christmas movies, and the Christmas carols, and the yummy smells of Christmas food, and the Christmas carols, and visiting with family, and the Christmas carols, and of course, presents aren't bad. And did I mention all those Christmas carols? Don't you just love it? Singing Christmas carols is my favorite part of Christmas.
I never would have guessed.
Remembering the birth of Jesus? Wow, can you imagine what it would have been like the night he came to earth? What a commotion it would have caused. Singing these carols reminds me of that glorious night. And besides, it's the best thing about Christmas.
For me, Christmas music is all about jingle bells and deck the halls with boughs of holly. My favorite, of course. Those carols you were singing earlier, I don't think I've heard them before. Where did they come from? Who wrote them?
Wait, too many questions. I'm sorry, I just don't have time to answer them all. The stage must be decorated before the play starts tonight. They're counting on me. Hey, I know who could help you. Go over there and ask a carol.
Carol?
Yes, carol.
Over there?
Yes, now I have to get back to decorating or this will never get done.
Hello, I'm looking for Carol.
I'm Carol.
No, I'm looking for Carol, Belle's friend, to answer my questions about Christmas carols.
Oh, well, we know a lot about Christmas carols. I'm Chris, this is Holly, and this is...
Noelle Carol the First. Pleasure to meet you. Which reminds me...
Ahem, what's your name?
I'm Holly Day. Wait, so you're all named Carol?
Yep.
Which carol would you like to know about?
Oh, what? I was born in Lincoln, Nebraska.
Not that carol. A Christmas carol.
Sorry.
I don't know any carols.
Whoa. We'll be right back.
Is she okay?
It's fine. It happens every week. Every day. I don't know why I lied. Well then, let's start the very beginning. A very good place to start. When you read, you begin with A, B, that's the wrong story. Well then. A carol is a type of song that people started singing over 1,000 years ago. As Christianity swept across Europe, Christians wanted to replace winter solstice pagan songs with biblical songs that taught biblical truths. One of the oldest and my favorite was written in the 1500s, titled Tidings of Comfort and Joy. It was later renamed God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen. It was written in reaction to the 15th century, which was a dark and somber time for the church, when everything, including music, was written in Latin.
Latin? Who uses that language?
You're right. The common people couldn't understand Latin. They would sing songs outside the walls of the church, and this was one of them. Now, it was first printed in 1760, making it the earliest known publication of the carol. And it was even quoted by Charles Dickens in his book, A Christmas Carol.
It shall be a few minutes, dear. I must complete one last task. What should I put here? In my story, A Christmas Carol, Scrooge has walked out of the office and is traveling the streets of London. He passes many groups of people. Along his way, he meets the carolers. I really want a song here, but what could work? It needs to be a popular carol, well known to all. What could work? I have an idea. Wait. Oh, it's in Latin, though. To think of another song. I got one. Wait, but it won't go with the story. That's it, I've got it. I'll be soon, dear. I have the last piece figured out. God rest ye merry gentlemen, let nothing you dismay.
Wow, I never knew. So when people sing it today, they're singing a song written in the 1500s? Huh, I wonder if that's older than my grandparents.
Well, just like many things, the song has changed over the years. In 1815, Samuel Wesley wrote the music for the lyrics, and the music was first printed in 1829. They were then published together in 1833 in a collection titled Christmas Carols Ancient and Modern, compiled by William Sandy, which included I Saw Three Ships and The First Noel.
The First Noel? That's my favorite song! Let me tell her about it, please!
No.
Please?
Fine.
Okay, where do I start? Okay, first, just like my name, Noel is French, and it means Christmas. And this carol is super interesting because no one knows who wrote it or when it was actually written. But it has been sung for thousands of years. Oh, you see, Holiday, in the medieval times, Europeans would tell their favorite Bible stories through song. And it was a wonderful way to help people understand the scripture that they couldn't read for themselves. And in the beginning of the 1600s, the First Noel was one of these songs, passed orally from one person to another. And people sang it to each other, and that's how they all learned the song. But the very first time it was written down was in the 1700s, near Cornwall, England. And people sang it in the streets to spread hope and joy of Jesus. Oh, but it was first published in 1832 by William Sandy, and it already gained popularity at that point. But back then, this carol was a lot longer, with 9 stanzas.
How?
I know. That was a lot to memorize. But to this day, the origin is still unknown. But no matter what, I just love it, don't you?
I've never heard of it before.
What?
Oh my goodness! Hello, are you okay?
Oh yeah, I'm fine.
Son, when I was growing up, you could hear a Christmas carol song through the streets, in churches, and in every home throughout England. What a glorious time it was, singing of Christ, and everyone knew the words. It seems so long ago now. No one sings it anymore. You should have heard them. And lately, I've been thinking, it would be wonderful to hear them all again. I've decided to do something about it. I want to revive interest in the carols by putting them all together in a book.
Father, what is this one?
Ah, one of my favorites, The First Noel. The First Noel was written as a way to express the excitement and wonder of Christmas. The people of Cornwall sang it as a way to spread hope and joy. This song is a testament to the fact that no matter what the earth looks like, no matter how much time passes, the encouraging story of Jesus will always unite the hearts that are desperate for him.
Can I hear it, Father?
To certain poor shepherds in fields as they
just for me. Oh, Holly, do you have a carol you want to share?
Yes, of course I do. But my carol doesn't have my name in it, like some people. Personally, I love O Little Town of Bethlehem. It was written by a minister named Philip Brooks, who was born December 13th, 1835, in Boston. He became a famous pastor of the Trinity Church and was so good at what he did, people often called him the Prince of the Pulpit. After the Civil War and the assassination of President Lincoln, he really needed a break from the stress, so he took a trip to the land of Israel, more specifically, the town of Bethlehem. And as he sat upon the field surrounding the city, he commented on how beautiful it was, stating that it was a better-looking city than any other he had seen in Palestine. Truly a touching moment. It was there he began writing the lyrics we know today, but the music was added later.
Dear Diary, what an exciting evening it has been. I got to go to Bethlehem on horseback with my companions. First, we saw the Church of Nativity, which is divided into three convex sections, Greek, Latin, and Armenian. Then, we rode to the very fields where the shepherds must have been tending their sheep at fateful night when Christ was born. What a thrill it was to be in the exact same location and to imagine what it must have been like for them that night, angels all around them to announce his birth. Then, as I wrote, I thought of others who occupied those fields, such as Ruth and Boaz, David, the son of Jesse. Then to my surprise, I saw shepherds keeping watch of their own flock, which brought my mind to Christ's birth. I could see it so vividly in my mind. Finally, we rode to the tops of the hills, overlooking Bethlehem. As I sat down, gazing down into the city, a poem formed in my mind, which I have written here. It is a good start, and I hope to complete it soon. As for now, the hour is late, and I must get to bed. Good night, Diary. I cannot wait to see what adventures are in store tomorrow.
It was there. He returned to his church where he finished the poem, but it took him 3 years.
That's a long time.
Hey, children. We're going to new carol for the Christmas service this year. Our Sunday school class will have lots of fun practicing it. See you next week. Bye!
Yes, Pastor. On my way.
Louis Render, since you're the church organist, I have a little musical job for you to do.
I've already begun cleaning the organ for this year's Christmas service, Pastor Brooks, so don't worry, it should be done in time.
No. It's not that. You see, I have this simple little carol wrote, and I would really like to start practicing with my Sunday school class. And you know, I can't write music.
You can say that again.
Wait, what did you say?
That you're an amazing man.
Oh, so can you do it? Can you write the music in time for Christmas?
Yes, Pastor, I can do that for you.
But the music did not come to Louis right away. And when the pastor checked back in with him on Friday...
Louis Render, get the tune ready for me. I would really like to start practicing with my Sunday school class.
No, but you should have it by Sunday.
And on Sunday, Louis had completed the music. But how the tune came to him was such an amazing story that he just had to share it with Pastor Brooks.
I have the music then, and you won't believe what happened. On Saturday night, my room was all confused about the tune. To be honest, I was thinking more about my Sunday school lesson than it was about the music for your poem. But I was aroused from my sleep late in the night, hearing an angel whispering tunes into my ear. I seized a piece of music paper and jotted down the tremble of the tune. And on Sunday morning, before going to church, I filled in the harmony.
And it was performed by the Sunday school children at the Christmas service of 1868. Neither Pastor Brooks nor Louis Render thought that it would ever be heard again. Boy, were they wrong. The carol was published in 1874 and began to appear in various hymnals in 1877.
This is fascinating. Do you carols have any more carols to tell me about?
Oh, I know. Have you heard them? What was it called again?
Martha. Martha, please do not disturb me. I will be doing some work on that song. Lord, it is so good to be well again. Thank you for sparing my life. I give my life to you completely, and I will serve you forever. Thank you for forgiving me of my sins, dying for me, and being my Lord and Savior. Please accept this song as my praise to you, Lord, and please continue to give me inspiration. That's it. I've got it. I have another hymn for you, Lord, to celebrate your birth. What child is this who laid to rest on Mary's lap, is sleeping? The lyrics are perfect. It gives one the understanding that God himself transformed into the form of a man through this baby, and that the Almighty has arrived to rescue humanity from the consequences of their sin. This is a fitting tribute to you, Lord, as we mere humans marvel and wonder in amazement at what you did for us. What music would fit with such glorious words?
Sorry to bother you. I know you're working. I just thought you might want a snack.
I've got it. Green Sleeves.
And Green Sleeves was a beloved melody that dated all the way back to 1642. And William's Carol was published in 1871 and grew in popularity.
Good job. Good job. You were loud. Just where the fuck is James? Thank you.
Well, some of my favorite carols have angels in them, like Angels We Have Heard on High, Hark the Herald Angels Sing, It Came Upon a Midnight Clear, but the best of them just has to be Angels from the Realms of Glory. It was written by a man named James Montgomery, who wrote over 300 hymns in his lifetime.
Oh my goodness.
He was a Scottish writer who grew up in the West Indies with his missionary parents. As a boy, he loved to write poetry and would write the most wonderful pieces at just 10 years old. He also worked for a newspaper and would often write articles speaking out against slavery. But for that, he was often imprisoned.
My beautiful girl. How are you this fine day?
I'm doing very well, Grandfather. What you doing?
Looking through some of these old hymns and carols, which I've written over these many long years.
There sure are a lot of them.
Oh, look at this one.
What is it?
It's called Angels from the Realms of Glory, a Christmas carol I wrote a long time ago. Let me see. Oh yes, I published this in my newspaper on Christmas Eve in 1816. It's one of my best works. If I do say so myself, which I did, of course. You may have heard it sung with many different tunes. I know I have.
I'm not so sure, Grandfather. What does it sound like?
It was a well-known carol by 1825.
How do carols know so much about carols?
It's in the name.
When you're a carol, carols are a calling. Keeping up the caroling tradition runs very deep in our family. The first carol we ever learned about was called Away in the Manger. Our dad told us that this carol was written entirely in America. Now the lyrics were written in Pennsylvania in 1885, but just like God Rest You Merry Gentlemen, no one knows who wrote the lyrics for the first two stanzas. Now J.E. Clark wrote the tune for the music, and John Thomas McFarland wrote the third stanza in 1905. It was published by the Evangelical Lutheran Church's Sunday School material, Children's Songs for Schools and Families, in 1885, and started appearing in hymnals in 1921.
Clark! Look what I just found edition of the Sunday School material. It says, poem about the birth of Jesus. Do you know what this poem needs? Well, do you?
Well,
you're right. This poem needs music, so it can be sung. Don't you think? I'm sure you can find the right tune for this. I mean, after all, this is what God has given you, Clark. Here, if you could start now, it'll be done in no time.
Maybe.
I know you're nervous. But I have the utmost confidence in your skills, Clark. Wow, J.E., I knew you were the right man for this job. This is an amazing tune you've written. It goes with the poem perfectly, and I just love the title she gave it to. Away in a Manger. Your music and their poem? Hey, who wrote that poem anyway? It'll make a wonderful carol for this year's Christmas service. Huh. Don't you think?
Yeah,
Clark! Did you hear how people loved your work? It was amazing listening, leave the church, sing your song. I guess it's your year. Do you think the student will catch on? Do you think you'll be singing forever? Speak up, man. What do you think? You're right. This will be hit for sure.
And people throughout the United States have been singing it ever since.
Clark, I know it's been a while since you spoke, but I hear that carol being sung everywhere I go, in churches, in schools, and even as of my people's homes. I can hear them sing your song from inside. Every time I hear it, I think of you. And that's not for my persuasive personality. You may never have written the music.
Well,
Clark, no need to thank me. It was my pleasure. Look, what I found on my way to come see you. Look, it's your carol. It has been published in the Worship and Songbook. What do you think, Clark? Hey, where are you going? I'm not finished yet.
Bad for Clark. He never got a word in. Maybe that was the real reason he wrote music, so that he could finally express himself. Oh, that reminds me. Holiday, I have a riddle for you.
Okay, I'm ready.
What Christmas carol do we sing that was never supposed to be a Christmas carol at all?
Okay, wait. Let me think. Oh, Little Town was. We just saw that Away in a Manger was. The First Noel obviously was, as the name Christmas is in the title. All right, I give up.
Joy to the World. It was never written to be a Christmas carol. It was written by a man named Isaac Watts, otherwise known as the father of English hymns, as he wrote over 750 of them.
Wow.
He was born in Southampton, England, in 1674, and as a boy, he loved to rhyme words together, like in poems, but it would sometimes get him in trouble with his dad. He started writing songs for the church when he was just 15 years old.
Oh, hello there, friends. I didn't realize you had already arrived. Sorry, I was in the middle of writing another one of my songs. I understand you guys want to know how I got started writing hymns. and you have a particular interest in the hymn, The Messiah's Coming in Kingdom, which I wrote in 1719. Well, let's start at the very beginning. Do you just remember how horrible the music was in church? No? Oh, I'm sorry. It seems some of you are just too young to remember that. Well, let me just say, it was terrible. All we did was sing directly from Psalms day in and day out. And I often complained about it before, during, and after church. One day, the deacon came up to me and told me to stop complaining and to do something about it, if I thought I could. So I got started writing my first song. It was a great improvement. Now, don't misunderstand. I love the Psalms. I use them for my inspiration. But to sing them directly from the Bible does not express the emotions we feel towards Jesus and all that he has done for us. And when he returns, there will be a great joy to the world. The Lord is come. That's why I wrote this song about Christ's second coming. What a true joy for the earth to receive her King, who will reign over creation forever. What a glorious thought. Sorry, I gotta get back to writing this song. I hope I answered your questions. Have a great night.
Isaac was talking about the Messiah's coming kingdom. Did we get our wires crossed or something?
Oh, no, no, no. But I see where you're coming from. The Messiah's coming kingdom was the title that Isaac Watts gave the poem. But when Lowell Mason, a music teacher from Boston, he composed music to the piece, and he renamed it Joy to the World because it was the first line of the poem and because the name just stuck. Watts was looking forward to Christ's return instead of back when he wrote those words.
Thanks for clearing that up.
Joy to the World was not the only carol that got renamed. Hark the Herald Angels Sing was first called Hark How the Welkin Rings. And it was—
Wait, did you say welkin?
Wait, did I? I did! Okay, now that we got that figured out—
What's so welkin?
I give up, what is it?
You said it, not me.
I said it? Wait. I did say that! Okay, what does it mean again? Heaven, right, welkin means heaven. Okay, so this carol is very different from others because of how many people worked on it over the years. So in 1840, Felix Mendelssohn composed the tune in Leipzig, Germany, for a cantata celebrating the 400th anniversary of the printing press. And then William Cummings, who sang in that same cantata, paired the tune with Charles Wesley's poem, Hymn for Christmas Day, which Charles wrote for a Christmas Day service. And Charles was a Methodist preacher, and he wrote over 6,000 hymns.
Oh my goodness.
I know, I wonder if he got writer's cramp. A tree!
Noelle, are you going to tell me the story of this carol?
What carol? Oh, that carol, right. It totally slipped my mind. Okay, Charles Wesley wrote these songs to help poor and illiterate people learn sound doctrine. And it first appeared in the hymnals in 1739 under the title Hark How the Welkin Rings. And then finally, George Whitefield, the great awakening evangelist, changed some of the lyrics in 1753, which is now the version that we sing today. And did you know, Holiday, that this song has been sung for over 200 years? I know, I wonder if it got wrinkles.
What a beautiful morning. This is going to be a marvelous day. It is wonderful to spend time with you, Lord. Think about the first Christmas day, the day you were born on earth, and how the angels filled the skies, announcing your birth to the shepherds sitting on the hills of Bethlehem. That glorious night, it was as if all of heaven came to life that day. Well, back to my work. How should I start this Christmas Day poem? I wanted to express the feeling of that first day. I must write a poem for this year's Christmas service. Those beautiful bells of the London Church, how they fill the air with excitement, just like that night. I've got it. Hark, the herald, angels sing, glory to the newborn king. That is really good. Let me see. No, please, no.
Wow, that was a great carol. I wish I thought about telling the story of that one.
Noelle, you just... never mind.
It's all part of her charm, Holiday. You'll get used to it. Eventually. Hopefully. Well then, look at the time. I think we only have time for one more carol, and in my opinion, the best. This carol has been sung around the world and has been translated to over 300 different languages, the most of any carol. It has also appeared in 100 different versions. This carol has been sung in TV shows, movies, during wars, and outside homes and churches for centuries. It was written by a German priest named Joseph Mohr of Austria in 1816, and in 1818, Franz Xaver Gruber added the music. However, the way it spread throughout the world is wrapped in mystery.
This year, we need a new song for Christmas Eve service. But Christmas Day is coming so soon. I must find something quickly. But what could I use? Let's see. Oh, I know. Where is it? It must be here somewhere. Aha! Here it is. Yes, this will work. I love this poem. It brings back all the memories of the day I wrote it. After the Christmas program 2 years ago, I took a stroll in the silence of the evening. And at the top of the hill, I looked down upon my village, and this poem just came to me. Where is Franz? I must find Franz. Franz, Franz.
Here I am.
Hi, Franz. I need your help. Can you write music to go with this poem? I need it to be done before Christmas Eve, as I plan to use it during the service.
This is good. I'll get to work.
Wait, Franz, can the music be played on the guitar, please? Not the organ.
I can do that.
It was a beautiful midnight mass, Franz. The song was enjoyed by all. Thank you.
My pleasure.
The church organist repairman, Carl Marcheur, heard the music and asked for a copy the following year. As he traveled throughout Northern Europe, he spread the song with churches and families. The song spread like wildfire and was first performed by the Strader family in Leipzig, Germany in 1832. 2 years later, it was performed in front of King Frederick Wilhelm IV of Prussia, who loved it so much he ordered the cathedral choir to sing it every Christmas Eve. After that, it went across the Atlantic Ocean, where it was sung by the Reiner family in New York in Holy Trinity Church. It was even sung by both French and German troops in the famous 1914 Christmas Truce of World War I.
Are you going to tell me the name of this carol?
Oh. I did.
I don't think Noel's the only one.
know my.
The Hawaiian version. Thank you. Pastor Ed. Pastor Ed. It's in my hand, Pastor Ed.
Wasn't that wonderful? Let's give our students a hand and praise God. Okay, we're not going to keep you that much longer, but tonight is our Sunday evening service, so we do have announcements, and at this time I'll have the ushers come forward as we get ready to receive the evening tithes and offerings. Okay, let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much, Lord, for the work that you're doing here in this ministry. God, for the work that you're doing in our lives, and we know that work only happens because of you and the power of your word and the power of your Holy Spirit. Father, we ask that you would continue to show your hand of faithfulness upon our church and upon our ministries, Lord God. We pray that you would continue to show your blessing upon our people, and we thank you in Jesus' name we say, amen. Amen. First of all, we'd like to thank you for coming out to support our students tonight, to support our school ministry. It's such a blessing. I'd like to thank Mrs. Johnson. I know she doesn't like this. It's the glory to God in all things, but in the summertime, or last year prior to us going for summer break, we talked about things, and I really appreciate staff members that you share the vision, and they take hold of the vision, and they make it come to pass. There was a lot of research that went into this to see when the hymns were written and the different idiosyncrasies of each of the choirs and things like that, or the choruses. And again, I just praise God for her and our other staff members and letting this thing come to pass. We'd like to make an announcement that on Tuesday night, the school will have a movie night in the gymnasium. It'll be Tuesday, December 20th at 6 o'clock inside the gym. The doors will open at 5:30. And the movie's free, but we ask that you would help support. They're doing a mainland excursion, our 3rd, 4th, 5th, and 6th graders, to the Ark in the Creation Museum. And then from the Ark and Creation Museum, they'll be driving up to Pennsylvania, to Lancaster County. They'll be going to the Sight and Sound Theater, and then they'll end up in Philadelphia, where they'll see some of the historical sites like the Liberty Bell Constitution Museum. So that's the reason why they're having that movie night. So if you're free, please come on out. You're invited to that. Also mention, next Wednesday night, we're currently in the Book of Revelation, and Pastor Bill will continue our study in Revelation chapter 16, and he'll be talking about the wrath on the one world religion. We want to mention to you that we do have a Christmas Eve service. It'll be here in the sanctuary on December 24th at 6 o'clock in the evening. Join us as Pastor Bill, our senior pastor, will share in a special message, and we'll also have Hawaiian worship and hula. Also, to let you know that Calvary Chapel Christian School is now accepting enrollment for students for the next school year. I can't believe we're halfway through this school year. If you have any questions, or you'd like a tour, or you know anybody that's interested, please give the school office a call, and we'll be glad to serve you. Also, as we gear up for the new school year, we'll be looking for Christian teachers, and we have applications available for that as well. This is the time of the year that our ministry usually mentions the year-end giving. Calvary Chapel, we really don't stress giving a lot, but we know that biblically it's a part of our acceptable worship to the Lord. So everything that you see here is because of God's faithfulness and God moving upon his people and his people responding. So when you give like the tithe, the general tithe, like on Sunday evenings or Sunday mornings, that most likely goes to the general fund, which helps in the operations of the ministry. But then you could also give specifically to our specific ministries. We do have K-Light Radio, AM and FM. It goes worldwide pretty much with the internet. We do have Calvary Chapel Christian School, K through 12, and we also have the preschool, and we also have our missionaries. So we believe here at Calvary Chapel where God guides, he provides, and he has provided so much here, and he's been so faithful to us. We do have Koinonia Cafe and Bookstore. Stop by. They have a lot of gift items for Christmas. You want to check that out if you'd like. And they also have good food, good fun there. And I believe they're running a special on Bibles, 20% off for the Bibles, I think. Don't quote me. But, okay, so about 20% off for the Bibles. What a great gift to give during this season. And, again, let me just share with you a little bit. As we look upon God's word, we see the theme of the Bible in its totality is that of the Messiah, or the Christ, or the Anointed One. When we look at Christmas, the totality of it is Christ. Jesus is the reason for the season. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. It says that there's no foundation that can be laid but of Jesus Christ. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. And so when we approach Christmas, and that's why I really appreciate the play, it gives us a background in regards to what we are singing. Nowadays with contemporary, carols, they sing about other things, you know, me, or last Christmas, I gave you my heart. The very next day, you gave it away. Hey, you know, or no, please, no. Or, something like, all I want for Christmas is you. Woo. You know. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about Christ. That's the bottom line. And it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, the most special gift ever. So I don't know where you're at, but it's very important that for this year that you would receive the grandest gift of all, eternal life through Jesus Christ. It would be like we had a gift up here on stage that was as big as this prop. And it's labeled with someone's name, and it's all covered up, and it's all beautiful in wrapping paper. And they say, okay, it's Christmas Eve. Are you going to open it up? Nah, I won't open it up yet. Okay, Christmas Day, you're going to open it up? Nah. What about Christmas night? Nah. What about the next day? Nah. That's what it is if you refuse the gift of Jesus. And it's very simple. You humble yourself. You recognize that you're a sinner, that you need the Lord's forgiveness. You need to repent, and he'll come into your heart. Very, very simple. Everything about Christmas, again, points to Jesus Christ the Lord. The gift-giving, the fellowship, the core, and as we talked about tonight, the carols. Let's consider some of the carols. And I'm going to challenge you, and even myself, maybe take one of the carols during this season and look at the words and see how God is going to speak to you. In my Bible classes in high school, I usually give a devotion to read, or I give an excerpt, or we're studying a doctrine, and I ask the kids, hey, what did you learn? And how did God speak to you? What needs to be adjusted in your life? What needs to be brought before the throne of grace to be changed? What things do you need to do to grow closer to God? Here's a couple of the carols, a few of the carols. It says, joy to the world. The Lord is come. Let earth receive her king. Let every heart prepare him room. And heaven and nature sing. and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing. God rest you, merry gentlemen. Let nothing you dismay. Remember, Christ our Savior was born on Christmas Day to save us from Satan's power when we were gone astray. O tidings of comfort and joy, comfort of joy. O tidings of comfort and joy. This last one really is very striking. Holy night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appears and and the soul felt its worth. O thrill of hope, O the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks anew in glorious morn. Fall on your knees and hear the angels' voices. O night divine, O night when Christ was born. O night, O holy night, O night divine. Again, the most beautiful gift, the most wonderful gift, the most fantastic gift that was given was Jesus Christ the Lord. Won't you accept him? Don't refuse the gift. Accept him and be born again. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much. We thank you for our students. Lord, we thank you for this night. I pray, God, that the words that went forth through the script and through the lines, Lord, would penetrate the hearts of people, that they would come to know you. Lord, let this be a night of reconciliation. Let this be a night of forgiveness, the forgiveness of sins through Jesus Christ our Lord. We ask that you bless our families. Lord, keep us safe as we're going our way. And Lord, may we remember that you are the reason for this season. You are the reason for Christmas. In Jesus' name we say, amen. God bless you all. See you next year.